The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Good Monday morning and welcome to another week of Analyze This here on your NPR station, the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX FM, where yours truly. It is Eclipse Monday 2024 here on Analyze This. And of course, yesterday, some history, right, with the natural elements. Going to be in effect this afternoon, and it's wild. It's going to be from as south as Mexico, and the line of the eclipse is diagonally northeast. Yeah, it runs northeast from Mazatlan all the way up towards Maine. So it's going to be interesting. Looking out for that as well. We're going to call the weather service so we can talk with them. We got beautiful weather today, even though there's a heat warning, though. You got to be careful. That's why we definitely go talk with the weather service. We got the St. John Rescue. They're going to be joining us this morning in the hour number one. And then we're going to be hearing from Nicole Parsons and the Forum. They're wrapping up their season. It's been a wonderful season for the Forum. She can be talking with us in our number two. So, we're looking forward to talking with the weather service out of San Juan. Good morning. Who am I speaking with?
Cecil Villanueva. Yes, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Very good, very good.
You ready for the eclipse?
Well, the thing is that we might have a lot of clouds by that time.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, so check this out. I'm looking at the map, right? The mm-hmm. eclipse map, and it's on the mainland. It actually runs from like Mexico to mm-hmm. like to Maine, right?
Yep. Correct.
Yeah. What about us though? We're out of it.
We have like partial eclipse, but mm-hmm. only like about 6-7% of the partial eclipse. So it's going to be very, very mild. I mean, if you have maybe some specialized sunglasses that are available for solar eclipse, you might see something, kind of like the moon brushing like the corner of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it. In terms of like the brightness of the day, there's not going to be a lot of much effect. If you do have like maybe like some cool little things that sometimes they do in schools that you can like prepare, then you can see maybe like the little shadows of the eclipse. But that's about it. And also it will depend if there's no weather. Maybe in St. Croix you're going to be fine. Us in Puerto Rico, we expect some weather in the afternoon. So some of those clouds might cover this event during the afternoon hours.
¿A qué hora?
So the weather event or the eclipse?
The eclipse. At what time would we be looking at to be impacted?
So it's expected to start around 2:39 p.m. But then like the peak is going to be around 3:20 p.m. and then it will end around 4 p.m. So that's basically the time that we're expecting weather over here.
Okay. And the weather is coming from which direction?
So we have a front, a cold front that is moving southwards, and so we're already seeing some of the shower activity in the Atlantic waters. So slowly we're going to see those showers approaching the northern coast of Puerto Rico, and then in the afternoon we will see mostly that convergence plus daylight surface heating that combination with like the front approaching, then we're going to see some active weather, mostly starting the Cordillera Central in Puerto Rico because of this local effects. In St. Croix, mostly any showers are in the waters that might affect St. Croix. But St. Croix is expected much later in the afternoon than us. Us we're going to see like by late morning. St. Croix is something that's going to be late in the afternoon.
So, but we need this, right? Because we're looking at a heat advisory for the early part of the day, right?
So there's no heat advisory. It's like there's limited. So, yes, during the peak hours, you're going to see some sun hot weather. So before any shower activity that starts around the island, we still have a limited heat risk. So mostly in the, particularly in urban areas, you can see heat indexes between 102 and 107. Basically, during those peak hours, to you know, make sure to drink water. Mostly, try to be under the shade and not be like under the sun. And so, before any shower activity, yes, it's going to be a little bit hot. But fortunately, during the week, we're going to see those temperatures to go down, and also like we're going to see more. Much better weather in terms compared to the weekend.
No, but there was a, because one of my boys he sent me a heat warning. There was a warning that was in effect from Saturday until tomorrow.
There's not a warning right now. There's no heat advisory or anything. There was a heat advisory yesterday for us, but there's a limited heat risk. So there's a difference. We have heat advisories that are in effect when heat indices are expected from 108 to 112, and then we have a heat warning when heat indices are expected to 130 and above, and we're not expecting those kind of conditions today.
Okay.
So basically what we have is a limited heat risk that is going to be affecting the area during peak hours of the day.
And beginning later on today, that should start to subside, is what you're saying?
Yes, because we have that cold front. Mm-hmm. So when we have that cold front over us and then passes, then we're going to see those temperatures to go down during the week. Right now it's been pretty hot because that front has been inducing southerly winds, and so those southerly winds have been pushing that warm air mass towards the islands. And so after the front, we're going to see those winds are going to shift more northerly, and so we're going to see some relief of the heat during the week.
Okay, good. Now, quickly, a marine advisory for our boaters and our beachgoers, please.
What second?
A heat advisory for our boaters and beachgoers, please.
No heat advisories.
No, I'm sorry.
Marine conditions.
I'm sorry. Marine conditions.
Okay, so there's no small crab advisories or any high risk of recurrence. However, starting tomorrow, we're going to see a lumpier northerly swell that is going to be affecting the Atlantic waters and also affecting the northern parts of St. Croix. So particularly by midweek, we're going to see those deteriorating marine conditions and also beach conditions. So during the week, please be careful because we're going to see a high risk of recurrence, particularly for the northern beaches of the island.
Cecile Villanueva, thank you very much. Enjoy Eclipse 2024.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, good.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That's Cecile Villanueva from down there in San Juan. So, yeah, a number of things going on today, right? Of course, you know, we're looking at the potential for the eclipse down here, you know, which, I'll make sure I say this correctly, right? Where by definition, the moon, right? The star to a cup, right? During the day, right? When the moon passes between the sun and the earth, right? And casting a shadow on earth that either fully or partially blocks the sun's light in some areas. And I was looking at CNN. There are towns that are making crazy money marketing this. We're going to talk a little bit about this later. But there's this one town that is supposed to be, I think it's in Illinois. I don't know, Indiana. This one town that's supposed to be right, you know, the eclipse, right? Rooms going, hotel rooms, right? This is a obscure area out in the countryside. $500 a day, right? $500 a day this time of year. Just because people want to be in this particular town that's in the path of the eclipse. I was watching that. So everything is marketable, you know? So we'll see what happens. Of course, cloud cover could undermine everything. So we'll see. We'll talk about this a little bit more later as well. I believe we got St. John Rescue down there yet. We got the St. John Rescue joining us. Mr. President Bob Malacarne. I hope I pronounced his name correctly.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. And who else do you have joining you, sir?
Oh, we have our executive director, Valerie Hewitt.
Mm-hmm.
And our training director, Brett Huntley.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me write these names down. Valerie Hewitt and Brett Hundley. And good morning once again. How's St. John Rescue doing?
We're doing quite well, thank you. Yeah, we're up and running, and we've been around for a while.
Well, I'm gonna yield to you. Give us that history, so the public has a feel for St. John Rescue. It's how long it's been in effect, and what you provide for the good people of St.
Sure.
John.
Yeah, after Hurricane Marilyn in 1995, a group of people got together and started actually meeting under the Black Olive Tree at Mongoose Junction. And by November 30th, 1996, we had our charter and we were in business. And since then, we've been growing quite a bit. Started with about 6 or 7 members, and now we're up to close to 30 members. We have about 20 actually responders who can actually respond to calls on St. John.
Okay, good. Good morning, Ms. Hewitt. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Talk about your role. What's St. John Rescue, please?
So I'm the executive director with St. John Rescue. I kind of oversee the building. I help with ordering supplies and just kind of making sure everything plays its part, filling in those voids.
Okay. Your entity is eligible for support in the miscellaneous section of the budget, right?
Pardon?
You get support from the miscellaneous section of the legislature's budget, our annual budget?
No, we got funding through VITEMA. The same location that St. Thomas, St. Croix Rescue,
mm-hmm.
Water Island, and St. John all get
Comes through VITEMA. Okay, yeah, but that's an appropriation by the legislature to the island rescue entities, and VITEMA is the custodian agency.
Okay.
Okay, good. Mr. Hundley, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How is your greatness today?
I'm doing I'm doing good. Explain your role, if you will.
Well, basically, I'm the training officer, clinical educator for St. John Rescue. And basically, I oversee training and education for our squad. We do various classes, such as classes through the American Red Cross, classes through the Health and Safety Institute. We also do in-house training. And in our in-house training, we use programs from both sources, along with a pre-set up education platform. Also, I teach the emergency medical responder courses. We have one currently going on. The next one's in August. Also, I am helping to work on proposals for a emergency medical technician course to be conducted in 2025. And I'm also working with various sources to help establish a community paramedicine program. And also, I'm not sure if your listeners are aware, we do have a junior rescue program that we're getting up and running so that we can take the community students and the peoples of the Virgin Islands, especially our young people, and get them off the streets and get them into something that is, benefits not only our beautiful St. Johnians, but our visitors that come in as well.
Okay, that's nice. You said, Mr. Malakarn, you got 30 members right now, thereabouts?
It's with a lot of transients on St. John. People come and go, but yeah, it goes somewhere between 20, 30.
Okay. Okay. And how many full-time employees you got?
We have two. We have one under contract. Brett is under contract, and Valerie's under contract.
Okay. Okay. What's the biggest needs right now?
biggest needs right now.
Have you got a chair? Are you sitting down?
I was hoping to ask that question. Well, right now, funding, you know, is always an issue. We get very little from the government. I think, believe it, every year we get about $60,000. We just received the grant. In 2021, we wrote the grant. We just received the funds last week to purchase an oxygen generator. We're the only ones on St. John who can provide medical-grade oxygen for the island. And we provide it to Meyer Keating, to EMS, to Fire, National Park Service, and any individual who's dependent on oxygen, we provide that for them. We also are going to be purchasing with a grant. Funding should be coming in hopefully this week. 10 portable oxygen concentrators. So if people are dependent on oxygen rather than having to carry around a bottle of oxygen with them, they can carry this bag, and it actually it's portable, and they can produce oxygen as they walk. So it gives them a little bit of freedom to, if they have to go to St. Thomas for a doctor appointment or if they were shopping, they're not lugging this bottle along with them. That was all financed through a CDBG grant. And we were able to work out all the details, and hopefully the final funding for the portable concentrators will be coming in this week. We have old vehicles. Of course, having vehicles is always an issue, having newer vehicles. The two main vehicles we have, Squad 1 is a 2002 Ford F-450. We were able to get that through the efforts of Senator Rocky Liber. When he was in the Senate, he was able to get funding for us to purchase that vehicle. And then we have a 2006 Ford SUV that Senator Liber, when he was back in again, he was able to get us another funding source. But recently, to replace one of the vehicles, we had to purchase a 2022 Tahoe, and that's only partially funded. One of the people on the island told us that he would support it.
What we're going to do, we're going to take a break, pick it up right there, and hopefully, now we'll definitely talk about the need for more modern transportation, because you're talking about some pretty old vehicles there, 2002, 2006. So we're talking with St. John Rescue this morning. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
The Forum and the St. John School of the Arts presents Sphinx Virtuosi, a dynamic and inspiring orchestra comprised of 18 accomplished Black and Latinx artists. Its members serve as cultural and diversity ambassadors for audiences and communities worldwide. Concerts are Friday, April 12th at 6 p.m. at the St. John School of the Arts and Saturday, April 13th, 8 p.m. on St. Thomas at the Antilles School. This weekend is the premiere of a greater collaborative presented by the VI Lottery between all three islands with CMC Arts on St. Croix, the Forum and United Jazz Foundation on St. Thomas, and the St. John School of the Arts. The Sphinx Orchestra performance is made possible with support from the VI Lottery, First Bank, and the Virgin Islands Special Presenter Initiative Program of the Mid-Atlantic Arts Foundation with support of the National Endowment for the Arts. For more information, www.theforumusvi.org or www.stjohnschoolofthearts.org.
And we're back here. Analyze this. We're talking with St. John Rescue this morning. The president, Mr. Bob Malacarn, executive director Valerie Hewitt, and training officer Brett Hundley. Good morning to all three of you again. Glad to have you on Analyze this morning.
Morning.
Thank you.
Good to be back.
Okay, good. So, you need vehicles.
We do. Okay. Yeah, we got partially funded to purchase a 2022 Tahoe. We got $25,000 with the promise of getting more, and of course, the more never arrived. So we're in the hole about $50,000 we had to take out of our bank account.
Okay. I'm as a former member of the authorizing, the appropriating body,
right,
of the government of Virgin Islands. You know, I'm making a call on your behalf now to the legislature. Any senator from the St. Thomas, St. John district, and of course, obviously, the at-large senator, he resides on St. John, don't hesitate to put in an amendment appropriation to fund a vehicle or two for St. John Rescue for obvious reasons, because the service that St. John Rescue, along with St. Thomas Rescue and St. Croix Rescue, provides is invaluable. So right now they're down. They need some support as it relates to transportation. So if you could help out in that regard, make that appropriation happen for those who may be listening over there, either senators or those working for senators this week. Okay.
Well, thank you.
No. Without a doubt. These are obvious need components and infrastructure for an entity like yours.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because the 2006 SUV is actually in the worst shape. The roof leaks really badly, and it's not really safe to drive. We kind of like using it right now to store our rappelling equipment. And that definitely needs to be replaced, hopefully before hurricane season. Senator Bolkus is working on getting us a vehicle from the motor pool, and hopefully we can get some more funding like you just asked for. We're at a meeting back in March, was it, with the senators. They called a town meeting, and I made the appeal for them, and I actually threw out a few hints that we really, really, really need vehicles. So I'm not sure if they got the hint or not, but I'm sure with you backing us up, hopefully they'll get the hint.
No. St. Thomas, St. Croix, and St. John Rescue are valuable, priceless. I think that's the best word, right? The what you provide for us in time of need, and more importantly, today is April 8th, right? Beginning on the 15th of May, we're gonna have the tropical weather outlook, and then before you know it, the The hurricane season?
Hurricane season.
It's going to kick in another 16 days later on June 1. You know what I'm saying? Or 17 days later. So, you know, we got to make sure entities like yours are outfitted to provide that support because, you know, we're going through a climate change window in our existence, Mr. Hundley. And it's important that as it relates to resources that an entity like St. John Rescue has everything it needs.
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly because of the fact that, and let's be very honest, the early weather forecast that we've been listening to so far is making us start May 1 because the thing is that you know as well as I do, you know, the tropical weather comes the 15th, June 1st starts hurricane season. But if you look at the history of hurricanes in the Virgin Islands, we've had at least a possibility of 50 tropical depressions starting at about May 1. So you know as well as I do. In fact, I'm kind of preaching to the choir because I've only been here a few years, but you guys, you know the history of the islands. You know when a bad storm is going to come in and that kind of stuff. So with my education department, the thing that we really focus on is our St. Johnians, because the more St. Johnians that we get trained as far as CPR and first aid, the better protected they are, because you know as well as I do, you get a Category 4 or 5 that comes through here, Puerto Rico ain't coming. And you may see Miami in 2 to 3 weeks if you're lucky.
That's for sure. By the way, I'm gonna give you a little pronunciation lesson right now, Mr. Hundley.
It's
St. Johnian.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
It's okay. No. It's okay. It's okay. I just want you to sound like us.
Yeah.
The longer you stay with us, you know what I'm saying? So
that's right. You know, at least I can pronounce Cruzan, right?
That's right. So we're good with that.
That and chicken fry. Yeah. Okay. So as long as we got those two words together,
the O is strong when you refer. Referring to St. Thomian and St. Johnian, okay?
we've tried to educate them, but you know, it's tough to teach a teacher anyway.
Yeah, but in its original form, it is St. Thomas and St. John. But when you're referring to the residents, St. Johnian and St. Thomian, okay? So that's why I hook you up with that. I just want to hook you up with
that.
Make a note of that going forward. So, Ms. Hewitt. Good morning once again. How do we get more young people involved in supporting the St. John Rescue?
A lot of times the way that we ask for people to kind of support is we use social media platform quite a bit. We do go out in the public and we try to recruit people that way to see if they want to kind of join Rescue, kind of let people know about Rescue a little bit. But mainly social media is the way that we try to recruit and get people kind of joining Rescue and kind of that kind of stuff.
Okay. Ms. Hewitt, also, St. John had a controversial matter with respect to the land swap and constructing the new school over there on St. John. One of the things that is going to come about as a result of the new structure when it's constructed, is that the new school will be a shelter. It will serve as a shelter as well as a school, right? So that's a good thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk a little bit about your sentiment. I know that was a pulling and tugging type, very tense window there. But now that we're past that, the prospects to address the needs for St. John to include a shelter and in line with what you provide, that has to be good.
Yeah, as a former teacher, I taught at Sprott School for a while, and we definitely need that school. Absolutely, positively need that school on St. John.
And the shelter.
And the shelter. Oh, yeah.
Right now, the Sprott School is a shelter on St. John?
No, it's not in very good condition at all. I'm not sure where's the shelter is.
From what I understand, Gift Hill School can act as a temporary secondary shelter, And also just to let you know that we do provide shelter equipment to support the American Red Cross and their mission here whenever we have a storm that comes through or is approaching and we need to shelter our people here.
Okay. That's good. Now, talk about your relationship with the Park Service, because the Park Service does have a very wide and island-impacting footprint on St. John.
Yeah, we just met with the chief ranger a couple of weeks ago, working with them. We have two very old boats with another need we have. We really in need of a new boat, but we have an agreement with them that we can keep one of our boats at the National Park dock at the bulkhead. And we have a really good relationship with the National Park Service. We frequently are called in there when there's a drowning or cardiac arrest on one of the National Park beaches. St. John Rescue is always called in to assist National Park Service, EMS, fire. So we do have a good relationship with them. Valerie would like to speak about the dive team and our relationship with the dive team and the National Park divers.
Go right ahead, Valerie.
Yes, we just got a hold of, so we actually, a while back ago, we met a gentleman from Lake Monticello. They're based from Virginia, and they're also a nonprofit, kind of like us, very small unit. And I had asked them if they would be interested, because at the point, our dive team was not applicable. So we asked them if they would come train with us and stuff like that, and they agreed to come train with us. So they got our dive team up to public safety divers. We have six public safety divers. They can do search and recovery. They're full face mask certified rescue divers, O2 providers. In July, we actually have them coming back for a UCI course. So with that being said, we reached out to National Park to ask them if they would be interested in coming in with their public safety divers and their divers and training with St. John Rescue to get them all up to par for UCI.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Good.
So UCI is underwater criminal investigation for anybody that doesn't know what the course is. So anything that if weapons were thrown overboard or if they need anything for evidence or anything, the divers will get deployed and they will know how to properly recover the evidence without ruining it.
Wow. It's good to have that kind of that level of communication and that type of training, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
It's expensive.
and plus, let's also have Valerie tie in our CPR or our AED dispersal program, because that's also benefiting National Park as well.
Oh, go right ahead.
So we got a bunch of AEDs. Back in the day, how many AEDs did we get?
About 18 of them.
We had 18 AEDs, and we had a hard time trying to find batteries. Eventually, we did find some batteries, and we were able to get the AEDs up and running. So what we've done is we've asked National Park if we can provide AEDs in the park for life-saving measures. We have some at our beaches where we get popular drownings, and we are in the process of putting some on the trails as well, to make it accessible to people in quick responses.
Malakarn, what was it like? I know it's not something that we want to revisit because it was a painful window for everybody, but St. John looked like it took the biggest hit with the double hurricane smash that we got in 2017, Irma. Devastated St. Thomas and specifically St. John. Talk a little bit about how y'all came together and made the recovery a reality.
Well, it was devastating. Irma hit us a lot harder than Maria, but the aftermath of the storm, you could hardly even walk down the street, never mind drive down the street. So responding to calls anywhere on the island was near impossible. I know when we had one call to go to Fish Bay, it took us a couple of hours just to even get to a point where we could walk, like a mile to the site. It was the worst experience I've ever been through. Which is another reason why we, you know, we're trying to get this EMT paramedic paramedicine program going, because we want to train as many people as we can around the island, that they can be stationed all over the island as EMTs or EMRs. So if the hurricane does hit again, which we know it will, and EMS or fire or rescue are not able to get out there, at least there'll be people stationed around the island who have the skills, who could provide life-saving efforts before, you know, it takes maybe an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours for EMS or fire or rescue to get there. We're hoping that we can get that. I'm writing a grant now, but of course that's a very slow process and it's very competitive, and we may or may not get the funding, but we really need to do the EMT program is definitely a must. Paramedicine will greatly help people prepare for the hurricane, especially the elderly people in the island and the people who are handicapped. The paramedic can go out and prepare them for the storm, the oncoming storm. And then, of course, during the storm, we do not respond. No one responds during a storm. It's just a given. And then after the storm, of course, now you're clearing roads and so forth. So hopefully this program, if it gets underway next year, we can really, really be a good service to the people of St. John. And it's all through St. Jonians.
We got to take care of those St. Jonians. Okay?
Thank you very much, Brett, for joining in. You know what I'm saying? I like that. Hey, I'd like to make a suggestion. Sure. You know, we're coming up on a 4-year anniversary for this show, and I've learned a lot. You know, it's not just about coming on and running my mouth every day. As relates to grant writing, because it looks like a lot of what you do is and should be and is going to be dependent on grants. The Department of Energy, they're real good at identifying. Our energy office is real good at identifying potential grants for the territory. So I'd suggest that you reach out to Mr. Kyle Fleming and the energy office, Ms. Lynette Sierra and that whole group, and see what they can do, if you can work in concert with them, you know, to see if you could be eligible for some grants, because federal grants are very, very important, in particular for St. John, given how the Park Service has such a big footprint over there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because we do serve the national park. We should be getting more federal funds because of that fact. The building we're in right now, it's new. It's about five years old. We got it through two CDBG grants. We're completely solar. We're off the grid. And we have a big diesel generator was donated to us. So, and also we have an agreement with Vitema that if their building goes down again like it did last time, they can use this building as their headquarters.
Okay, so reach out to the energy office. You know, we do a show up with them every first Friday of the month, the Power Hour, and one of the things that they have, you know, exuded is their willingness to tap into federal grants. The current administration, there's been a lot of infrastructure monies and all that stuff that they've made for just about every municipality. Every state, every city, every county on the mainland. And we need to take advantage of that. You know what I'm saying? In particular, given that, you know, we're detached from the mainland, and we everything that we generate, we got to do it internally. So we need to take advantage of that opportunity for grant monies, what have you. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up our conversation with St. John Rescue right after this.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, Wait, We Give You a Chance to Impress Your Friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists? You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Sometimes you need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands. Now.
And we're back here, Analyze This, having a good conversation with the St. John Rescue leadership. We got President Bob Malacarne. We also got Executive Director Valerie Hewitt and Training Officer Brett Hundley. Good morning once again to the St. John Rescue leadership. Glad to have you on.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Okay, good. So, Valerie. Miss Hewitt, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. Talk about St. John, man. How's St. John?
St. John is good. Everybody is doing well here. I love the community. People are very, everybody helps each other.
Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Michigan, so I've been on island for about 2 years.
Ooh, you're way up there, up in the north. The weather?
Yes.
So you appreciate you appreciate the weather in St. John this time of year.
I do. No more winters for me.
What part of Michigan? Regular Michigan or Upper Peninsula? Because, you know, it's two different universes, right?
That is true. I'm originally from Nashville, Michigan, which is very small, near, like, Grand Rapids, not far from, like, Detroit, Lansing area.
Okay. That's good. Brett, where are you from?
Originally from a little town called Gros Tête, Louisiana.
Where are you from?
Our town is built... Yeah, so our town is so small that when you plug in your electric razor, the trolley stops. I mean, you know.
So you are Bayou baby, Cajun
yeah,
baby.
Sure, I'm well. Let's put it this way: I'm not a true Acadian, but I'm close enough. Gros Tête starts in what's called the Acadians area of Louisiana. So I live in a town that's well.
So hold on a second. Louisiana is also in the hurricane plain, right? Hurricane Alley, right?
Actually, it's a very interesting story. Yeah. I was in Louisiana working for Acadian Ambulance and doing volunteer work with a two-parish fire district when Katrina and Rita made their presence known.
Wow.
And... it took us, give you an idea, it took us about maybe 90 days before we got water electricity back. I was part of search and rescue teams, partly in the parish, but also with the Louisiana State Police hazmat unit. So I went out on missions to make sure that everything was okay. And let me put it this way. There was a lot of death and destruction in Louisiana from those two storms because, as you know, New Orleans basically sits in it's probably a low level.
It's down. It's down in And it's actually a Delta, right? It's a Delta, right?
Yes, sir. That's absolutely correct. And the French recognized this about many, many years ago, and that's why they built the levee system.
Yeah.
But at the time, people, you know how history, we need to go back and learn history? Well, obviously we didn't, because when those storms came in and the levees broke like they're supposed to, they were supposed to go into wetlands. Well, we built homes in the 6th and 7th and 8th Ward of New Orleans, and there was a lot of devastation. A lot of people didn't come back. And then you had Rita, and Rita went right up the river in Lake Charles, right into the basin there, and socked that pretty good. So, yeah, I've had a lot of experience from Hurricane Andrew. I was with the Sarasota County Fire Department in Florida for a number of years.
Yeah, that was 1992. Hurricane Andrew was in 92.
True.
And I remember that because my dad died the same day Andrew hit in Miami and South Florida back in August of 1992. So that one was personal for me. But I want to ask you this. You said you were in Louisiana. Louisiana is like a shoe. So you were down in the New Orleans area?
I was actually north of that in Baton Rouge.
You're in Baton Rouge. Okay.
In
Baton Rouge.
Louisiana.
Okay, good. So, because, you know, when we think of Louisiana, we think of Pepperidge Farm. and the commercial where the man says, "I guarantee," you know what I'm saying? So that's pretty cool. So that experience is very, very, in your case, applicable in time of need as relates to us living here on an island when we're hit by storms, Mr. Hundley.
Run the question again.
No, I said your experience with dealing with Andrew in 92 and Katrina, but that would be what, 13 years later in 2005. That comes in because experience, there's nothing like experience in terms of trying to keep the residents as calm as possible, even though we're going through trauma from being hit by a storm.
Correct. And the thing is that we, you know, of course, the idea is to evacuate as many people as possible. But when we can't do that, we also want to make sure that we properly educate and prepare our people to shelter in place until the storm passes. Because, as you know, when it gets above a certain miles per hour wind-wise, we're not going out, okay? So, and you know how the communication system is. The communication system will probably go down. Hopefully we'll have cell service. Well, hopefully we'll have cell service, I say myself. But again, we like to take those practical experiences from the storms, not only from the island perspective, but from the mainland perspective, and also, how would you say, educate our people so that, hey, look, this is coming. These are the possible problems. So on and so forth. While we're on talking about water and whatnot, can we change the subject for a second? Because there is another need that when I start explaining this to you, you'll start shaking your head and go automatically.
Go right ahead, sir.
Drownings. We have drownings on our beaches every year. A lot of these drownings could possibly be prevented if we have lifeguards. So what we do is we partner with the Virgin Islands, the Friends of the Virgin Islands National Park, to offer lifeguarding courses at least twice a year. So far, I believe, and I could be wrong, we've trained up to about 20 individuals, primarily for the Friends of the Virgin Islands National Park Learn to Swim program. But as one of your senators said in a newspaper article, in your news, daily news about 3 years ago, we need to get more lifeguards out there, not only, you know, with the Learn to Swim program, but with our beaches such as Maho, Cinnamon, Hawk's Nest. You kind of get the idea. And also to promulgate this to St. Thomas. As you know, I think maybe some time ago, they were having issues hiring lifeguards because there was nobody around that was trained. But not only that, the salaries were just not sufficient. So that's one of the things that we need to hopefully fix. You're talking about through the Senate, and not only that, through our grants and whatever funding we can find, to take, how would you say, to coin a phrase from a famous person named Johnny Appleseed, to start planting apple trees so that we can promulgate and go forward in training our young people and the people that are looking for jobs. You say so yourself, and you know this. We don't have enough jobs for our Virgin Islanders, and we need to give them another avenue that they can go seek employment.
Well, that's an excellent idea, and hopefully, well, we actually we were on location on the Thursday before Easter, Holy Thursday, and my co-host was actually the Sports Park and Recreation Commissioner Calvert White, and you know, lifeguards is one of his responsibilities at our beaches, because we were up at Kramer's Park, so I think they have an understanding of how important they are and why we need more. So you're suggesting that we need to beef that up some more?
What I say is that, yeah, we train at least 2 a year, okay? We mm-hmm. do two classes a year. But, again, this is something that really we need to get more support behind these programs, not only from the training perspective, but to have jobs available so they can go and get gainful employment.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll hopefully the powers that be are listening, and we can continue to invest in this necessity. Mr. Malakarn, where are you from originally?
No, 26 years ago, I left Rhode Island and came to St. John and never went back.
Well, I'm not surprised.
yeah, you can drive through Rhode Island in 30 minutes.
That's what I'm talking about. That's
yeah, what I, like that's, going through St. Thomas.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, and actually, yeah. one of the guys at the 81C studio, the art studio in downtown St. Thomas, Joseph mm-hmm. Hughes, he's actually from Newport, Rhode
really?
Island. So, yeah,
oh.
yeah. So I tease him about that all the time. Rhode Island's a beautiful state. I like driving through Rhode Island. Very, very
it's
lovely.
Beautiful, yeah. But it's just too cold.
Yeah. But it's green though. It's green.
It's
I mean,
green. Yeah. Yeah. Well, oh, yeah.
That's one of the things I remember about when I'm on the 95 working my way up to Connecticut or Massachusetts. Yep. When you get through Rhode Island, that's a green state, man. Wow.
It's a green state. It takes 5 minutes to go through it, but it's a green state.
But we're glad to have you three Virgin Islanders. Even though you weren't originally from here, you're here now. It ain't where you're from. It ain't where you're from. It's where you're at. So you're here with us. And we want to support St. John Rescue, and we want St. John Rescue to be working in concert with St. Thomas, Water Island, and St. Croix Rescue, so that all four entities can be provided for, because people only tend to appreciate you in time of need. And,
Exactly right.
And we want you to be appreciated year-round, so that not only you can provide for us, but we can assist you in providing for us and others when we're going through impactful windows, because you know, we're in a hurricane zone, so we gotta be very candid about that. I want to thank all three of you, Mr. Bob Malakarn, Mr. Valerie Hewitt, Executive Director, Mr. Malakarn is the President of St. John Rescue, and Mr. Brent Huntley, Training Officer, and Brett Huntley.
Who did you pick? Valerie Hewitt, our executive director.
Yeah. No, but you got a dual role. You're the training officer, and what's the secondary role?
Oh yeah.
I also, well, actually, I'm the training officer, clinical educator.
Clinical educator.
I also am a certified paramedic with the Virgin Islands, and I also have helped back up Virgin Islands Fire Service when they need an extra hand.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Thank you very much, I'm Mr. Brett Hundley, Cajun Brett. from down there in Louisiana.
That's right, baby. Just remember, buy a lot of Tabasco. We need more funds.
I'm glad to have you on. So don't forget Mr. Malakorn and Ms. Hewitt and Mr. Hunley. Reach out to the energy office, right, and see what they can do.
Call Fleming.
Right, and you already do something that they promote, which is you're off the grid, you're 100% solar, right?
We are.
Yeah, so that's something that they would love to hear, and hopefully, because one of the things that they did at our high school here on St. Croix, they actually put in a new generator. Our St. Croix Educational Complex, which also serves as a main shelter after storms, and they provided a generator, a new generator with much more capacity. So these are the things that if we get entities working together, it can benefit the entire island. And St. John, of course, we got a soft spot for St. John here at Analyze This. So anything we could do to promote the island, we're willing to do that. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, all three of you, and good luck at St. John Rescue.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. That's St. John Rescue Leadership, President Bob Malakorn, Executive Director Valerie Hewitt, and Training Officer and Clinical Educator Brett Huntley joining us. And they're also doing something with Junior Rescue as well. You know what I'm saying? So, you know how it is, right? Whenever we go, step up and provide some support for the island of St. John. You know, and I want to tell you, right, I like to tell people this, right? Everybody know that I'm 100% Croatian, right? Pro-St. Croix, right? But if I was to remove myself, right, from my bias, right, which I make no apologies for, right, St. John is the loveliest of the three Virgin Islands. Just call it a spade a spade. You know what I'm saying? It's something about St. John, it's just pristine, unique, you know what I'm saying? And, of course, the park service footprint is a little too big. I mean, I think it's now time to, you know, get back a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's too big. Let me just be candid. I mean, we love the park service. Lawrence Rockefeller, your vision from back in the day, you're going to be credit for that. I mean, you'll always be given credit for that. But the footprint too big, man. Seriously. And the population back then compared to now is proof, right? Population can increase and footprint expanding. The logic and the reality, it don't agree, right? So I just want to call a spade. When we come back, we'll take a break, right? When we come back, we're going to talk with Nicole Parsons. But I also want to give a shout-out to University of South Carolina Lady Gamecocks for winning the national championship yesterday. So we're going to talk about that because, you know, I'm a sports junkie, right? So we're going to have some fun with that when we come back at the top of the hour. Be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the territory.
Comes with the territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.